Our call to worship today is in Proverbs 14, verse 1, and it's very, very short. It said, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands." The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. That's what we're going to talk about today, being a wise woman and mother. Lord, I thank you for this day, and we thank you for the sunshine, and we thank you for all the mothers that are here. I pray that you'll bless them. Lord, I pray that as we worship you, I pray that you will be here with us, and we invite you to spend this hour with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The life of a pastor, just a brief introduction to how my Saturdays and Sundays usually go. By Saturday, I would hope to have a sermon ready. And I would hope that there's nothing in the evening going on in my life so that I can go through my sermon a few times so I become intimate with my sermon. And then before I go to bed, I go through my sermon so that it's on my mind as I go to bed. And I wake up Sunday morning, make a pot of coffee, and I sit down on the couch and I go through my sermon at least once, if not twice. And so it's fresh on my mind. And so when someone comes to me on Sunday morning and tells me a joke, what do you suppose is on my mind? Now, I'm not going to tell you who this joke came from. This preacher got up on a particular Sunday morning, and he spoke for 5 minutes. Spoke for 5 minutes, and he was done. And the congregation's like, "What on earth happened?" Next Sunday, spoke for an hour. And everybody's like, "Wow." The next Sunday, the pastor spoke for 2.5 hours. And everybody going up to him, "What on earth happened to you?" And he said, "Well, 3 weeks ago, I had new dentures put in and they really hurt bad. So I had to cut the sermon short." So the following Sunday, I didn't feel that bad. I feel like I had to catch up a little bit. Well, last Sunday, I put my wife's dentures in by accident. It was on my mind, and so I had to get it out. If you've looked at the text for today, I feel like I need to apologize just a little bit. And I'm not apologizing for the Lord, because I believe as I pray and as I deliberate over what to talk about, and I believe the Lord gives me a message. But in some respects, I need to apologize just a little bit about the text today. And if you know anything about 1 Kings chapter 3, you'll understand as I read it. It's a lengthy text. It's verses 16 through 28. And I want you to look at the character of these two ladies. Look at the character as we read through them. Then two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. It happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. This woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and laid with him in her bosom, and laid her dead son within my bosom. When I rose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son. whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, for the living son is my son and the dead one is yours. And the first woman said, no. And I felt like, boy, we could go on and on and on, back and forth, fighting about whose child this is. No, for the dead one is your son and the living one is mine. Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, this one says, this is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one. And the other one says, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. The king said, get a sword. So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. When the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over this her son, and said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him. And the king said, give the first woman the living child. By no means kill him. She is his mother. When all Israel heard the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. I heard a story once of a mother who threw her child out the window. Now you might be saying, wow, that's not a very good mother. In fact, you might even say, like our call to worship said, that that mother was maybe foolish. And you would be right in saying that. But let me tell you the rest of the story. James Dobson told the story while he was talking to mothers and parents about training their children to listen. Sometimes as parents, we make idle threats, don't we? Like, for instance, child is disobeying, and child might say something like, if you do that one more time, I'm not going to feed you for a week. Now, we would never do that, and maybe we would never say that, but we make idle threats much of the time, and we don't stand behind what we say. And so Dobson was simply saying, stand behind what you say, and your children will be more attentive. So one mom thought this one through. It was winter. There was a lot of snow at that time. She told Johnny not to do whatever he was doing. Johnny kept it up. So the mom said, if you do that again, I am going to throw you out the window. Now, this is no ordinary child. He realized that this was not going to happen. Moms do not throw children out the window. So little Johnny misbehaved again. So the mother, without a word, went over to the window, unlatched it, and opened the window. She went over to little Johnny, picked up little Johnny, and proceeded to throw him out the window. What Johnny didn't know was that the snow was up to the edge of the window. Little Johnny didn't get hurt. But I'll guarantee you that little Johnny listened to her mother after that point. Do not make idle threats. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this text and the words that you've given me. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us, every one of us, to be students of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We were in northern Minnesota, a town called Grand Marais. And if you know where Boundary Waters is on the very edge of Boundary Waters, wilderness area. And we were trying to sell our house, and our realtor's name was Kim. And something happened to Kim that I wouldn't wish on anybody. In northern Minnesota, if you feed birds and you keep your bird feed in your garage, you probably don't want to keep your garage door open because you never know what might wander in. So Kim walked into her garage from the door from her kitchen into the garage and was attacked by the bear that was in her garage. Why? because on the other side of her was her cub feeding on the birdseed. And so this stranger became in the middle. So the bear attacked Kim, knocked her back into the kitchen. The bear followed her, was on top of her, taking slices out of her. When Kim came to, she said, "This is my house." So what do you think she did? She beat on the bear. And the bear left, taking her cub with her. The protection of a mother, especially a mother bear, is pretty incredible. Yep, don't get in between me and my kid. So our story today in 1 Kings is not about two prostitutes. It's about a wise king and about a wise woman and a foolish woman. I hope that you can pick the difference out. Solomon asked for wisdom to govern and judge the nation of Israel. And he knew that the mother of the baby would not want any harm to come to that child. So he wasn't sure which was the mother, but he was pretty certain that that child would live. So he proclaimed his judgment. Our call to worship today, Proverbs 14:1, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands." So this text describes two women, a wise and a foolish. Which is the wise woman? In the text in 1 Kings. The one that didn't want it to die. Because Proverbs says that a wise woman is one who preserves life. And the foolish one, of course, is the one that said, "You know what, I lost my child. We both are going to be childless." So how do we become wise women, ladies? How do we become wise women? By preserving your house. Well, how on earth do you preserve your house? And how do you build up your house? Well, let's look at Matthew 7. Verse 24 through 27, very familiar passage to many of you. It says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on the rock." We have the answer right in the first verse, but let's read on. "And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the rain floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall." Lake Dalton, if you remember, about 10 years ago when Wisconsin Dells had so much rain, the dam broke. Do you remember, how many remember that? It was shortly after that we went to go visit for the first time Wisconsin Dells. Built on a sand, and I found out later that these houses were all retirement houses, very, very expensive homes, no flood insurance, built on sand, taken right away. Perfect description of this, and I'm not saying don't build on sand. I'm just simply saying, if you listen to God's word, you are like the man who builds on a rock. And who's that rock? Jesus. Build your life on the rock and not on sand. Are we talking about a woman who physically tears down a house? Absolutely not. That's not what Solomon had in mind. Solomon says, build your house on the rock. Build your house on something substantial. Preserve your house. Listen again to Matthew 7:24. "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them," James 1:22 says, "but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So if we went back a few verses in Matthew 7 and find out why he said therefore, we need to go there. Verses 17 through 23 talks about good trees and good fruit, or bad trees and bad fruit. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, listen to this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. This text is, of course, talking about our relationship with the Lord. And if Jesus Christ is the tree and we are the fruit, then our fruit will be like Jesus. But if we only say that I follow Jesus, but your fruits is something else, then you are of a different tree. You are of a different tree. And then verse 20 and 21 say, you will know them by their fruit. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. And then he goes on to say, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, we will be like Jesus if we do that, if we listen. So mothers, do you want to be godly mothers? Do you want to leave a godly heritage? I love Paul's exhortation to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 7, it says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt where? First dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a power and love and discipline. God gives us a job to do, and then he equips us to do it. Timothy is one of the Pauline epistles, and Timothy was led to the Lord by Paul himself, and he's reminiscing a little bit here. He says, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother. Where did he find the faith first? In his mother and his grandmother. Ladies, you ought to be godly mothers, doing what God says in his word. And then verse 7, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and discipline. Mothers, I know that you will have a heritage. Yep, you will have a heritage. But I want to encourage you today to have a godly heritage. Have a godly heritage. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have good seed, good fruit. And then as Matthew 6, 33 and 34 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Well, yeah, everybody's like, yeah, every day has enough trouble. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't even worry about today. Be righteous and follow the kingdom of heaven. Amen. our benediction today. Listen very carefully. 1 Peter 3:4. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Let me read it again. 1 Peter 3:4. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to the Lord. Have a great week. Amen.